This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to the Hope Centre, where real stories meet real conversations about mental health, growth and hope. I'm Anna, and we're here to share, connect and remind you that you're not alone. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Hope Centre podcast, a project put together by Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust with the help of ORFM and Anytime Fitness in Dunedin. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please reach out to us on our Facebook page or email admin@lifematters.org.nz. Kia ora, I'm Anna.
And this is Omri.
We're both peer support workers at Life Matters and we'll be your hosts for this conversation about hope, healing and lived experience. I think your mic was off, Omri.
Oh, bangs. Omri's here.
Omri is here. Welcome back to the Hope Centre podcast. We've got a really exciting episode today. Today we are talking with Sophia, who hosts Sophia's Study Space, a fellow podcast on ORFM as part of their Youth Zone. Sophia, thank you for coming on and joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
No worries.
It's a pleasure.
I'd like to invite you to introduce a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Sophia and I host the Sophia Study Space podcast. I'm currently a third year law student at the University of Otago. And yeah, I guess that's just a wee bit about me.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What made you choose law?
It's a very funny story, actually, because I didn't know what I wanted to do after high school. I was just like, I did want to do business, but then it was like, the ethics, there's nothing, you know, it's not that good. And then, obviously you could make it good, but yeah. I just didn't have that confidence in me. And I was like, I kind of fell asleep one day, then I woke up and had a dream that I was like, in the Batman universe, because I'm a big fan of Batman.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, and I guess, Harvey Dent, the lawyer, was in my brain at the time, and I was like, I could do a much better job. And I was like, you know what? I'll do law.
Amazing.
How Two-Face inspired you to become a lawyer.
Yeah, I can't remember because I did psychology and criminology, and I was just watching, I can't even remember what it was. I was watching a movie with my partner, and I took a break off uni, long story short, and then I was watching this TV show or movie with my partner, and there was like a criminology student in there, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That could be me.
And then the next day I enrolled, and it's just crazy how it works.
Yeah.
Cool. So we've got Sophia on the podcast to talk all things kind of study, academic pressure, well-being during study. It is a huge area of passion of mine, so I'm super duper excited. Before we get into it, though, we do have a question that was left by our last guest, Karina. And that question is, if you were having guests over for dinner, what would be your starter, main, and dessert?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm Malaysian, I love Malaysian food.
Mm.
And so I think I'll have a very Malaysian-inspired
dinner.
So probably the starter would be curry puffs.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a nice little savory pastry.
Yummy.
Yeah. Then the main would be this thing called ayam masak merah, which is chicken with red sauce that's made of tomatoes and chili.
Yeah.
With rice and all the sides that go with it. And then dessert, probably just a classic chocolate brownie with ice cream.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong with that.
Are you a good cook?
Oh, nah. Not as good as my parents. But I just like to watch them.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds delightful.
Sounds like a dinner party I want an invite for.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
If I ever do it, pull up.
Yeah. Awesome. I suppose we'll get into the questions. I guess kind of starting off, you know, the way that we connected with you is that you've also got a podcast at ORFM. And I've enjoyed listening to it when I was doing my research. And I'm curious what inspired you to start a study podcast and how has it impacted your own academic journey?
That's a good question. I actually started it back in high school, in year 13. So it was 3 years ago now.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. And I think I was, Aryuna came to me, the youth coordinator, and was just like talking to me, like suggesting a podcast. And at the time I was like learning a lot of study techniques. I wasn't the best student, honestly, in terms of academics, but I wanted to be. And so I was like watching a lot of like StudyTube, all those things. And I was just really kind of into that kind of stuff. So I was like, you know, I'll just like share this through the podcast and maybe it can inspire my own like academic journey and try to be motivated by, you know, doing the podcast and like learning those techniques and trying to implement them into my own routine.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's
amazing. Really cool. And I know there's, you know, lots of people can use media in lots of different ways, and I'm hearing of starting the podcast to inspire. I'm wondering as well, did it feel a bit of accountability for yourself if you're talking to however many people that you've got to be implementing?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it kind of, it encouraged me to study because at some point I was just like, oh, I can't be bothered doing this, I'm too tired. But then I was like, oh, what would my listeners think? So it does definitely hold me accountable.
Very cool. Have you, because, you know, 3 years is a long time to be doing a podcast. Has it changed over time?
Yeah, definitely. It went from very high school focus to like the university focus. And also I've been through a lot as a person and like I realized things about what academics is like. It's not just about, you know, the end goal. It's also about, like, the journey we go through. And so kind of change from being, like, here's how to get the best grades to, like, here's how to, like, do it in a healthy way but also not put too much pressure on yourself.
Oh, gosh. Something I know I see a lot through the Hope Centre is, like, you know, uni is life, but I think in reality, once I stepped out from that space, I was like, this is not sustainable for me to be thinking this way because, you know, you can't really attend to your studies and be your best self if you're not taking care of yourself at the same time. So I really appreciate that. Cool.
And I'm wondering as well, as you said, that journey of the podcast has grown and recognizing that studies and everything and need to look after yourself. And what signs do you look for to that might suggest that you need a break or need to look after yourself?
Yeah, I think definitely listen to your body because, you know, it's telling you when you need a break, like when you start getting sick or just your body starts aching or like your brain as well when you start feeling overwhelmed by the content. Yeah, that's when it's like, oh, definitely I need to like shut my brain off and just put a movie on. But in general, taking breaks is really important. It'll just lead to like burnout, which
and very much of the, you know, sometimes we go like, oh, if I take a break then it's 10 minutes I've lost, but then in that 10 minutes you've lost compared to burning out when that's potentially how many years or months.
Also, if you're looking after yourself in those 10 minutes, is it 10 minutes lost?
Great point.
I think I remember something that was quite challenging for me. I only graduated last year and it's been quite eye-opening, but, you know, something I remember is it was really hard to shut off my brain. Like, let's go do something that's fun, but I would still be thinking about the study
just
things.
Yeah, there in the back of your mind. Yeah.
How do you navigate that?
I guess, like, for me, there's, like, three types of breaks. I guess there's, like, the short distractions, you know, I wouldn't put like brain rotting in that category, but like other people would. But like, you know, just putting a TV show on or like that's like for like quick, if I just need to shut it off for like a good 20 minutes or something. But also if you know it's like not leaving, you try to do something that's like would still, I guess, get your brain going. But at the same time, it's like not necessarily shutting it off. So like reading a book or like I don't know, doing some crafts or something. Like it's okay if it's still like lingering there and you're still like thinking about it, but like just forcing yourself, like, you know, letting yourself be in the moment and like do something with your hands or like that's like the second category. I don't know what to call that, like brain using breaks.
The creativity break.
And then the third one is not really like a break, but it's more just like to journal or like let out your thoughts about where you're at with your studying and like how it's affecting you like mentally, because you kind of need to reflect on how you are processing the studying, mm-hmm. Because I don't know, it makes you like self-aware of what's going on, because otherwise you're just like autopiloting it, and mm-hmm. it's just like not great in the long run. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really appreciate that, taking time and space to check in with how you're feeling within your brain but within your body at the same time, because when you're go, go, go and you've got so much on your plate, and I know during exams for me it was like, okay, wake up, study, go to sleep, study, repeat,
Yeah.
It's not healthy.
No, it's not.
It's really not healthy. Yeah. I'm curious, like, how, you know, mental health has changed or evolved over your study journey to this point. Yeah, because I know, for, you know, reflecting on my experience, I'd never considered, I was just like, okay, this is my life for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't really consider the impacts that, you know, study and education may be having on my well-being. But towards the end, I feel like I, you know, became more reflective in a sense. I'm wondering how that's been for you or evolved for you.
Yeah, I think because I came out of high school like quite a motivated student, and so I kind of tried to bring that with me into law school. But law is like quite hard.
Yeah.
And I remember in first year, I think the first moment I realized that maybe I need to like start thinking about my mental health a bit was this 1 week where I was having it a bit rough. I had like assignments due for other subjects, but then law was like the most important thing. And then but the assignment was due like that day. So I was like, oh, maybe I should skip a lecture and do the assignment. But back in first year, it was like, I've never skipped a lecture before. Yeah. But obviously now I'm thinking about like, oh, that was like normal. Like, that was like, I like cried about it. It was like, I can't believe I'm missing this lecture for this assignment. I should just been more organized. And I had to like weigh the pros and cons of me missing the lecture and like me doing the assignment. I realized, like, wait, a few like days after, like, oh, I let myself get so worked up and I was like crying about it. It's like, whoa, I need to really like take a step back and think about how like I'm going to go about this. I really need to maybe consider like myself.
Yeah. It's a journey that's challenging, but one that can be sustainable at the same time.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, yeah, really seeing, like, genuinely Sophia really impressed, you know, going back to, you know, not only recognizing and listening to your body that you need a break, but it sounds like you're really in tune with yourself on what kind of break it is.
Yeah,
like really impressive there. And then not only the, you talking just then about perspective and how to take that step back and view, okay, what is best for me long term?
And
do just want to highlight like how impressive that is. Something I don't think I ever really, I'm sure I could have, but nothing I never really did sustainably when I studied as well.
Yeah. Do you need a category 1, 2, or 3 break?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Cool. And, you know, on the back of discussing mental health and, you know, studies, I'm wondering what study habits or academic expectations do you think that tend to lead students towards burnout?
Yeah, definitely having these super high expectations for yourself is like the number one factor for now, honestly, because then you just end up overworking yourself, and then, you know, perfectionism comes into that as well, like wanting it to be like wanting to get a certain grade and then not getting that grade, and then you just like beating yourself over it. You just like end up wanting to stay in bed and not do anything at that point. That's like the main thing. But also that fear of not wanting to fail also does tend to lead to like procrastination, and then the cycle just keeps on going, and then you burn yourself out like so quickly. And yeah, that happens to me a lot actually, but
yeah. It's only a human way to react to these things, because uni is so high stakes, you know? I know a huge part of my experience was that pressure to succeed and to get A's. And the impact it can have on your self-worth is quite severe.
It is.
Interesting as well, because I didn't have that pressure to get A's. But like, I had the pressure to pass, but it
was
still...
No one else was putting that pressure on me. It was me.
I'm wondering as well, for like for both of you, having that pressure for... putting that pressure on yourself for those high grades. You know, it's still getting a grade that's great and, you know, B's, for example. How it felt to know you're still doing really well but struggling to accept that as good.
Mm. Good question.
Would you like to answer it first?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. It is. That's a good question. I think if I look at my life in a wider context and some of the things that I was going through at the time, you know, it may or may not make sense that the way that I was performing academically. And, you know, again, I feel like I've appreciated so much more since stepping out of that study space and having a bit of a break from it. But, you know, I can now appreciate it really wasn't that deep. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I got a B and I passed something and I was happy with the effort that I put in, you know, now that I'm kind of establishing a good career path and I'm doing work that I love, really hasn't been impacted by the fact I got a B once or twice, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. Mm. Yeah. I think for me, because I haven't really left uni yet, I still kind of do let those grades in the past like beat me up a bit.
Mm. Yeah.
But then I think about, yeah, like you said, like what you were going through at the time. And I think about like the situation, like, oh, maybe I was like not in the right headspace, but also, mm-hmm. you know, if it's just more like learning from those situations and not letting it get to you. Just like, oh, it's all right. You'll move on. You'll look back on this in like 30 years and it wouldn't matter.
So, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. For sure. And I remember that from high school as well. Like, you got to know what you want to do and where you want to go. And it's like, hey, I'm now 24. And do I really know what I'm doing or where I'm going?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But it's okay.
No.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Mm.
It's your turn.
Yeah, I'm wondering as well, what advice you would give someone who felt like they're only as good as their achievements or only as good as their grades?
Oh, well, honestly, your grades really don't define who you are.
Mm.
Like, at the end of the day, when you do step out of university or if you're, like, on holidays, it's going to matter more how you are, like, as a person.
Mm.
And so, yeah, just don't let it really, like, eat you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much, like, on my podcast, that's kind of what I repeat all the time. It's just, like, it doesn't define you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you got to, like, do it for the love of the game. Like, just enjoy learning.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, like, the whole grades aspect. Because it's just mm-hmm. there for, like, to measure, I don't know, like, your understanding. But like, yep. as long as you really, like, do it with the intent of learning, you know, you should find some joy out of it.
Yeah.
Sure. This is just me being curious. What aspect of law have you enjoyed the most up to this point?
I think learning criminal law and immigration law. I think immigration law, because, like, it relates to me, and also I have a big, like passion in that sphere. Mm. But criminal law is just interesting. It's just kind of fun, like, hearing all the cases and stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Imagine some of them could be quite intense as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But. Yeah. Sweet. we've got some more questions that we'd love to ask you, but before we do so, we will quickly pop to an ad break from our sponsor.
At Anytime Fitness Dunedin, our mission is to raise the self-esteem of the world. A healthy lifestyle doesn't start and stop at the gym. It starts with a plan, which is why we offer solutions that incorporate fitness, nutrition, well-being, and recovery. With three local clubs to choose from, with 24/7 access, we're certain you'll find your fit. Contact us today to get started. Call 03-455-0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
Thank you, Anytime Fitness Dunedin, for sponsoring. Did you do it again,
I've
Anna?
I've done it again.
Done it again.
Omri's confusing me where he's sitting.
I am. My mic's been cancelled.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Anytime Fitness Dunedin, for sponsoring the Hope Centre podcast. We love the work you do and keep doing it. We are here with Sophia from Sophia Study Space and, yeah, really enjoying your insights on study. And again, if I was to go back 10 years ago for when I first...
Omri's a dinosaur.
Okay. Like, I was first year 10 years ago, there would definitely be different habits I'd want to have. And, hearing some of yours feels great, that knowing that there are people doing good stuff.
Aww.
Yeah, and looking after themselves.
Cool. I don't know where we're at after you skipped a question.
I have a curious question anyway. So, okay. Yeah, you're talking about the, going through and really, it's not all about the grades, about that journey. And you mentioned, again, really enjoying criminal and immigration law. And you also mentioned not enjoying just the study itself, but again, that's kind of the cliche of the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
again, that's the balance in itself of the uni experience versus the study experience. And how do you balance those two things?
It's a hard one. But it does get to you sometimes when things are just a bit too boring or just like, it's getting overwhelming. But I guess the university experience, the studying experience, I think it's having a good balance of like what you do outside of just studying because it just kind of helps you, like, I guess, like taking a break as well, but also enjoy just university more.
I guess we're kind of coming up to, I keep talking this way because these guys are saying this way. I guess, like, you know, essentially it's coming up to enrollments and stuff at the moment for like Otago rights. So essentially we can plug it. But there is so much to do at university aside from study, right? Like there's a lot of clubs and sports and stuff. Do you do much, you know, have much association with different other spaces?
Yeah. So at university I did join the Malaysian club for a bit.
Awesome.
I was on the exec. It was fun.
Nice.
Met a lot of friends through there because I didn't really have a lot of Malay friends before university, but now I do, so it's great. And I guess the law societies, their events.
Amazing.
Yeah, like law review is always fun.
Cool. Oh my gosh, what's that?
Oh, it's like the little show they put on.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good. Sweet. But yeah, outside of that, I also like to ice skate. Nice. It's not like club for it, but like there is classes at the ice rink that people can take if they want.
And the Friday night disco as well.
Yeah, it was always fun.
Yeah. We've been ice skating once with a bunch of our workmates.
Oh,
and
cool.
I mean, I can't ice skate, so it's pretty horrific for me. But yeah. Is it like an adult hobby or have you always ice skated?
It's an adult hobby. I started it like a few months ago.
Nice. Oh, wow. Yeah,
I just thought, because I don't take any sport, it was like, I'll just take something that I really do want to do. So
cool. Oh my gosh, that's brave to start something like that as an adult, because I could never, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's been quite tough, like learning a lot of the tricks, but like, you know what? It's there to like let me forget about studying for a bit.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're talking about tricks, Anna and I are talking about staying upright.
Yeah, it's many months of practice.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I appreciate having that something outside of study that you can go back to, you know, when you do need a bit of a brain break.
Yeah.
You know, and to do something a bit different. We both play futsal.
Ooh.
And
different teams.
Different teams.
Yeah.
We usually win. But,
always.
Always. Yeah. But when, you know, we work and everything can be so work, work, work. Mm. And then having a sport or something you can do outside of it that's like social and good for you and good for your mental health is like so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I'm curious, what role do you think identity, for example, first-gen student, perfectionism, cultural background plays in how someone experiences academic pressure?
Yeah, as someone who experiences perfectionism myself, it definitely has quite a bad impact on like mental health because other people just be like fine going through with their studies and stuff, but then you'll be like overthinking the little things and not wanting to start. And I know cultural background also does affect people, like especially if your parents are like immigrants and then it's like they sacrifice so much to bring you here. So then like you feel the need to like do well for them. And yeah, it's quite hard. A lot of the time it's not even like the parents who are like, you need to get A's.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just like that personal identity just like just drives you. So yeah, it's like, do you guys experience anything like this?
Yeah.
I think kind of the opposite of a first gen student where it was the expectation that I'd be a student. And similar to you as well, Sophia, I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I left high school. So it was there's the expectation that I'm going, but what do I want to do?
Yeah.
and I really wanted to be an air steward. And I applied. Oh. I was 17 when I finished high school.
Yeah.
And I applied and they said, you're too tall. And they didn't say you're too ugly, but there was the implication. Yeah, so it was kind of like, well, what do I do now? And they had a sausage sizzle outside the occupational therapy rooms when they were doing the talks about it. And I'm like, I'll grab a sausage. and then just wandered on in and thought, I could do this. Mm-hmm. And here we are. But it was very much, I kind of very felt that lost of what to do, but really knowing that I had to. And again, I really enjoyed my time doing OT, but I do feel like I would have done better by not going straight out of high school. Yeah.
So much pressure to do that because I felt the same. And I'm proudly a first year student in my family. None of my cousins, aunties, uncles, grandparents, parents went to uni. So I'm the first person in my family to graduate, which is super duper cool.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It was my graduation day was awesome. One of my favorite days. But there was no expectation I was going to go to uni. I think there was probably more shock that I was going to uni, but I think I felt a lot of pressure from school to go into study straight away. We had like mentor teachers at school who would kind of, we would meet with every few months to talk about, okay, well, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And I was really good at economics at school and mine was the economics teacher.
Aww.
I don't think she'll be listening to this, but if she is, hello. she was like, oh, have you considered doing economics? And I was like, why haven't I considered doing economics? I'm going to do it because that's what I'm good at. But it's not what I was passionate about.
Yeah.
So I went there and did a year and I hated it. And I took 6 months off and ended up watching some random TV show and figuring out criminology was a thing and psychology fit in quite nicely. And that was it. But I think there was a lot of pressure from myself to do well for my family, you know, because it felt like a huge achievement. I don't think my parents would have cared whether I got C's or A's or B's, you know. They were just proud that I was doing it.
I think it's really interesting, you're saying that, you put that pressure on yourself. And it was, I don't think I had that pressure to go from my family. Like, I don't think it was ever explicitly said, but it was just an inherent thing that I felt.
That expected.
Yeah.
Just kind from of society in general.
Exactly. So. Society and like, oh, my two older brothers have gone, so I have to go.
That's another thing, eh? Siblings, like, always wanting to be better than them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a pressure in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. Cool.
I'm wondering as well, what's the most emotionally challenging aspect of academic life that you would like to see highlighted more?
I think just the struggle of, like, I guess, just generally, there's a lot of things that people kind of assume that students should do or just are doing. Like, at the start of each paper, you get this, like, sheet that tells you the expectations. And some of it's like, oh, you're expected to do, like, 12 hours a week of work for this subject. And it's like, oh, that's a lot of hours.
It's like, how many hours per point? It's something crazy. Yeah.
It's quite crazy. And I think, I feel like they shouldn't really be putting it like that. And there's probably a better way to word it. But when students see that, there's a lot of like pressure and like to actually reach. Well, I know people who do try to reach the like 12 hours and like, they just put a lot of pressure on themselves. And and also as someone who struggles to do readings. You're just like,
I'm imagining you've got hell of a lot.
So much. It's like, I don't think, it's been so long since I've been up to date with readings. It's just so much pressure to like do all this other stuff alongside them that it's like, oh, I have to sacrifice one thing to do the other. And just like they should kind of acknowledge that there's a lot that students have to do on top of like working and like, because I live with my family, I do a lot of like house stuff for them as well. So, and like wanting to have a social life as well. It's just a lot to balance. And so kind of putting those aspects together with the 10 hours per subject, if you're taking like four papers, like, so much.
I mean, sometimes doesn't math.
Yeah.
I'm wondering as well for both of you in terms of readings. I know for me, it was very much of a, don't tell me to read. Mm. And I did most of my readings after I finished because they were genuinely really interesting. Mm. But for me, it was like finding time, but also I don't want to have to do this reading. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, curious about what your struggles are with doing the readings.
I think it's the quantity.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Like everything coming at you at once.
Yeah, I can imagine it's intense for you because I know I've had people and mutual friends and stuff who have done law, and it seems like you get a lot of readings chucked on you. Yeah. I think we got to, you know, it would be like a couple per lecture and stuff. And like, it's just, I think there's a tendency to feel like you're always falling behind because of the amount of stuff that you get chucked your way. And it feels like there is no consideration for you. You've also got these three other papers and you've got life and you've got family and you've got friends, and it's just, I think it was the quantity. The quantity is the problem.
definitely. And also like a lot with the law papers, a lot of the legal language, the jargon, like first year was so rough because I just didn't understand a lot of what was going on.
Yeah.
So, on top of the quantity, it was like, I don't even understand what's going on, and I have to reread the same paragraph, and like, at this point, I'm just not going to do it.
What helped that become easier for you to understand what they were talking about? Sometimes I see titles of like law papers or like summaries of things, and I'm like, okay, that's not English.
The funny thing is, the start of second year, there was like this law introduction thing, and this guy came in and like taught us how to do readings. And he's like, so read this passage for 10 minutes, even though it's 80 pages and you're not going to read it for 10 minutes, but just get what you can from the 10 minutes, write those down, and like, and then just ignore the rest of the reading.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, I haven't been able to do exactly that with each one because I can't get much from 10 minutes, but like, I guess just not putting that much pressure, I guess, onto like finishing the entire reading. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything I don't understand, I could just like note it down and then try to like, I guess, ask the lecturer, and even though I don't do that, but like, if people didn't understand, they could go to the lecture. Yeah. I just like Google it.
Yeah, ask the internet.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And also for like cases, because they're really long, just go to like lawteacher.net, search up the case, and they'll give you a summary.
Oh, yo.
Study hack.
Yeah.
That's two great hot tips. And I guess, like the 10 minutes being a fairly arbitrary number, but the real message going, don't push yourself to read the whole thing, just do what's manageable and you'll figure it out.
Exactly. Because it's like they use so much words to say like,
This
very small amount of stuff. So,
Oh, amazing. I think I would enjoy some aspects of law if I were to go back, because I think I'm just nosy and I really want to know what's going on.
That's so fair though.
Well, who's done this or who's sued this person?
Yeah, it's actually so interesting sometimes. Yeah. Like, I love it.
Amazing. Cool. We've got a couple more questions that we'd love to ask you, but before we do so, we'll go to our last ad break from our sponsor.
Anytime Fitness Dunedin is here to raise the self-esteem of the world. Whether you're new to fitness or getting back into a routine, now's the time to put yourself first. With a supportive community, three local clubs, flexible membership options and access anytime, we're here to help you reach your goals. Get in touch with our friendly team today. Call 03455 0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
We're back at the Hope Centre podcast and we're still joined with Sophia. We've got a couple more questions that we would love to ask her before we wrap things up. And I guess we've kind of touched on this, but, you know, kind of combining the Hope Centre podcast with Sophia Study Space. How do you take care of your mental health while managing a study podcast and your own academic life?
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting because recently I had this big failure at the end of last year with one of my papers, and it stressed me out so much. I had like, I did not have a good reaction to that. But my first worry was like, how am I going to go on with this podcast? Like, at this point, is it even worth still doing? And I kind of touched a lot on that on the podcast, and in a way, it kind of helped me deal with that. Mm-hmm. Like mental pressure that I was feeling, and I was like able to have an outlet to like let it out.
I suppose it's like journaling in a way, right?
Yeah, it was good, especially as someone who like sometimes I don't want to journal in case someone finds it. I don't know.
Mm. All your deep darks.
Yeah, that's right. I'd rather air it out.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
Amazing as well for you to show that vulnerability and be that, guiding light for other people, which is, again, very life matters, is using our lived experience to show a pathway for others of showing, like, hey, it's okay to mess up or have failures, and how do we get back up and keep going? And the fact that you were able to show your vulnerability and just see, like, hey, I'm still doing pretty great in so many other areas.
I kind of assumed that as well. Like, if I'm going through it, I'm sure there's a lot of other people who, like, are experiencing something similar.
So. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like I can relate to that sentiment a bit. I've got a confession, and that was the reason I took 6 months off university and decided I didn't want to do economics was because I got a D.
Oh.
And I thought the world was ending. I thought that this was like it for me. But I guess in a way, when I reflect back on that, I'm like, it gave me a chance to redirect where I wanted my life to go. And then I did psychology and I fell in love with it. And now I'm doing what I do now.
Yeah,
and that
great.
Definitely would not have happened if that experience hadn't happened. And I also see, like, you know, a D is a fail. But I took learnings from that, and that was an experience, and that allowed me moving forward to try some new skills, learn some new study techniques. And while it's a failure in the university's eyes, I guess in my eyes it's not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's always redirection from those really challenging times, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm wondering as well, what's something that you wish more students understood about mental health in academic settings?
Definitely that it's, like, not something to be ashamed of. Because I think a lot of students, they just, like, don't want to acknowledge the fact that they could be going through a mental health situation. It's just like, oh, it's just a slump. Oh, it's just burnout. But really, I don't know, like, it's so easy to just what's it called? Just, like, ignore all how you feel with, like, TikTok and stuff. Just bear out for 3 hours, it'll be gone. But really, no, you kind of just have to sit with it and, like, acknowledge that it's happening, because otherwise it's just going to keep going and then you're going to crash and burn. And so mental health is very important and you need to acknowledge it.
And I'm curious about you too as well. How have you found, like, have you found lecturers and university itself and, you know, like, student support accessible or helpful at all?
I have used the student mental health services and they're pretty good. They can get onto it pretty quick. Yeah, but otherwise, I'm not, like, the biggest lecturer, fan. Well, I like lecturers. I just don't, like, go up to them and talk to them. Yeah. But I find, like, the ones that I do talk to, they're really, like, friendly, and they really do want to know, like, what's going on with, like, your studies, because they're teaching you, and of course they want to know how you're reacting to their, like, what they're presenting. So, yeah, it's, like, good to reach out to your lecturers as well.
Probably not the best example, a lot of my study was through COVID, so a lot of it was online. Although I do, as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, I support a lot of university students. It's kind of like my weird little niche at the Hope Center. And while there's been a lot of, you know, mixed experiences, there is some people I support who have had really good experiences with lecturers and being really transparent about what's going on in their life. And the way that that's been accommodated is really, warming to see. I would encourage, if anyone's listening to this and is resonating with this, to, whether it's student support or, you know, we're just down the road by the hospital, like, we're not that far, we're in walking distance from campus, like, reaching out to some supports or some friends or some family is obviously really important. It can be very easy to get stuck into the university bubble when life is so much more.
Yeah.
Cool. And last question I've got, which, again, it kind of ties into what we've said. How can schools or universities better support students' mental health in relation to academic pressure?
Yeah, I guess really highlighting those support systems that they have. I know like a few lecturers do like plug it in at the start of the lectures and stuff. And I think that should kind of just be like a normal thing, just to check up on how students are doing. Because the one lecturer that does do it for this semester, every time he does say like, I hope you guys are all doing okay, how are you guys feeling? And like puts aside of like all the information, it just kind of make me stop and think about like, how am I doing actually? Yeah. Thanks for asking, Stephen. And so it's just like,
Shout out Stephen.
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, I think acknowledging that it is, the like especially this time, this semester, it is a very hard time, and like,
yeah,
look out for the students.
Yeah.
And I think some lectures do quite a good job. Like if I know some people, like for the smaller subjects that don't have that many students, they kind of notice when a student's not there, and they kind of like ask, like send emails, send mental health support, like how what happened to this person? It's just like, quite good. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. I guess like we're kind of at the end of the year almost now, and you'll have exams coming up. And, oh, you know, there could be students and people listening to this that may be preparing for that time to weather the exam storm. But I guess, you know, if you're giving the best that you can within the means that you've got, and with, you know, also looking after yourself and being gentle to yourself, that is that is all you can do. Yeah, life didn't feel living for me if I got a certain grade, but in reality, I wish I had been kinder to myself. And, you know, it is okay to struggle. It is okay to succeed. You know, there is no right or wrong. Cool. Well, that's kind of the end of our questions. Thank you, Sophia, for coming on to the Hope Centre podcast. Before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts or messages you'd like to share for those who might be listening and struggling?
Yeah, definitely to echo what you said, like to be kinder to yourselves this exam season for anyone who is going to be going through exams. It can be very hard and it, like, you know, it's a very stressful time. But sometimes it doesn't hurt to just, like, put on a little, like, show after, you know, your study sessions or just before the exam, kind of get your mind off of the stress. Because sometimes that's actually what you need, and sometimes it will actually, like, make you go into the exam with a lot less nerves than if you were, to like, too busy thinking about how things are going to turn out. So yeah, just don't overthink it. You'll be, you know, you can still live after that, and it'll all be great.
Yeah, for sure.
Things will work out for the better.
Cool. 100%. There's room for balance.
Yeah.
In everyone's lives.
Nice. Awesome. So yeah, at the end of your podcast, we ask the same five questions, our final five, kind of quick fire questions. With the last question, leaving a question for the next person. So our first question is, what does well-being mean to you?
Well, it means, I guess, it is you, basically, you taking care of yourself, who you are, and, it basically is just me as a person. If I don't take care of myself, then what am I?
Yeah. No, I really like that. Is there anything you do that brings yourself a sense of calm or balance or peace?
I like to, I guess, like listen to some music.
Nice. That
will like calm me down.
Cool.
Or like give my cats a little pet.
Do you have a favorite artist or favorite band?
Really basic, but I guess the Beatles. I don't know.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amazing. What's your cat's name?
I have two cats, Seth and Mia.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm such a big cat person. I think every time someone's mentioned animals, I'm like, what? Tell me more. Cool. If you could make one rule that everyone had to follow, what would it be?
I guess one rule. To put breaks into your schedules.
Yes. Cool. What would you tell your younger self now?
You'll fail a lot of times, but the friends you meet and the successes you do encounter outweigh all of those, and there's no point overthinking it, honestly. Just like move on.
Amazing. And Lynn, do you have a question that you would like to leave for the next guest?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if this has been asked before, but if you could go back to any moment in the past, where would you go? Well, what time would you go and why?
Oh, amazing. I feel like you've got an answer straight away. There's a big smile on your face.
1980.
Okay.
Washington, D.C.
Oh.
Jimmy Carter, 39th president of the United States, historically gets out of his limousine early. And it does the longest procession walk to the White House and shakes hands with over 10,000 people. And I would love to be one of those 10,000 people.
Aww. That's so cool.
Cool. Do you have an answer, Sophia?
Oh, actually, not really. I haven't really thought that much about it.
Omri's usually here with the answer straight away. And I'm the one
that has a gut reaction.
I'm the one that has to mull over it for a fortnight until next time. But I'll answer at some stage. But yeah, cool.
You could Beatlemania in Dunedin.
Yeah. Oh, 1964, I think it was.
There we go.
Oh, I would have loved that.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Cool. Yeah, that's the end of another episode of the Hope Centre. Can you believe it? Time has flown by. Thank you again, Sophia, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
Yeah,
absolute pleasure.
Sweet. Thank you, Omri, for co-hosting the podcast.
Thank you, Anna, for hosting the podcast.
Ah, no worries. Thank you to ORFM Life Matters and to Anytime Fitness for sponsoring this podcast. If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast or have a topic that you'd like us to discuss, please reach out to admin@lifematters.org.nz. That's us done for another fortnight. We'll see you later.
Ka kite.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our Hope Centre podcast. The most important message we can leave you with today is that it's okay to ask for help and support. You can contact us at Life Matters on 027 240 0114 by phone or text, or send us a message on our Facebook page. You can also contact us through our website. Just look up lifematters.org.nz. You can also drop in to see us at 63 Hanover Street. We're open every day except Mondays. From Wednesday to Sunday, we're open until 9 p.m. If you need support out of those hours, free call or text 1737. If you'd like to listen again or hear other episodes in this podcast, go to oar.org.nz or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.